Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome tonight, Blog Talk Radio. As always, it's good to have you here with us for another in the series of Establishing Your Faith. Here we go. Let's get YouTube in here live with us. Thank you, Jesus, for... There we go. Welcome, YouTube. It's good to have you with us tonight. It is, you know, February the 14th. And the whole world is celebrating Valentine's Day. I said to Sister Leanne today, I said, you know, this is just another one of those days when I'm supposed to love you with everything in me. Because I'm really not about the Eros demon shooting me with an arrow. No. The purpose of making the statement and being and then being silent is, wait a minute. What did he just say? What did he just say? Why did he say it that way? Well, God doesn't have angels that fly around and shoot you with an arrow so you're being low. It doesn't happen. So if it's not an angel, then what is it? Well, don't anybody be offended at me because I kicked the holy cow, because I am going to kick all the holy cows that come around us, and I'm going to do it on purpose because the holy cows will get us in trouble, and you don't want to be in trouble. You don't want to be in trouble, and, you know, I really, really, really don't want you to get in trouble. And I don't want you to be bound by no devils. All right? And I think it's very interesting how many Christian people fight to defend a demon. Now, like I said, you know, don't be offended at me. Don't be offended. Just read the Bible and see what happens. And tonight we're going to study that situation, and we're going to give ourselves to it. And, you know, as of always here on the Community of Faith, we want to teach you about faith. But here's the thing about faith. Faith looks at a mountain and says, move. Faith looks at what's out of order and says, get in order. Faith says, I'm not being as righteous as I need to, and says, righteousness, come to me. Faith says, oh, that's what you want done, Lord? Here we go. Let's get the mission accomplished. And, of course, faith takes you out of, if I can say this right, faith takes you out of the natural and it puts you in the supernatural. And that's where you really want to be anyway, is in the suture napperal. All right, get that suture napperal going. You want to be in the supernatural on a regular daily basis. All right, now come on, what's going on here? Play the video like you're supposed to. And that's here we go. Everybody just hold for a minute while I'm dealing with my issues here. There we go. Yeah,
come on, what's going on here? Play.
There we go. Now, so we welcome you. It's going to be a good night. Going to be a great night.
Amen.
Going to be a fun night in the Word of God. But I thoroughly want you to expect tonight that I'm going to kick a holy cow you've been hanging on to. It's February. It's the holy cow kicking month.
It is a holy cow kicking month. Hi, Richard.
Miller, it's good to have you with us tonight. God bless you, sir. We missed you for this last week, but we won't hold it against you at all.
We'll just
come find you the next time. Where in the world are you at? We miss you. But anyways, now you might say, well, Pastor, you know, what's Sister Leanne put in your coffee? Water. Nothing else. Now, I'm gonna give you my advertisement. Our only sponsor for our program is this. Have you tried intermittent fasting lately? Because it'll revolutionize your life if you let it. And if you get into it, you know. I have gone from needing sugar and cream and everything in my coffee to nothing. Now, you might say, oh, you're just a little weakling. I've been on black coffee all my life. Well, all right. I just want to encourage you, everybody, seriously. Now, remember this about the Christian life. If you've already got something down, for you to open your mouth and say, well, I already got that, that's a position of pride. You don't want to be in that. Don't be in pride. But encourage others to be strong in it. And encourage them to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. There's a lot of people who have very poor health, and you want to have greater health. And I'm telling you, Sister Leanne and I have been studying this fasting thing now for, I don't know, better part of 2 years probably. And all of a sudden this year, we just said, let's go to the depth of it. And I didn't assign her, but Sister Leanne just said, I'm going to get to the bottom of this thing. And you know, this is a fast that anybody can do, literally. Now, don't take this wrong. You ready? Just listen. It literally is possible to live a fasted life every single day of your life. And in so doing, have the healthiest body you've ever had. Literally. And not be overweight. Now, I know. Some of you are like, I already got this down, Pastor. Well, if you do, praise God. Pray for those who don't, because there's a lot of people that are going to hear this video that you're in very extreme danger. And your Christian life's in extreme danger. Because you're just being religious, and you're not getting serious about your Christian life, or you're not, you're like, well, whatever, my health is gone, I'm overweight, I don't know, I'm this, whatever, who cares? I'll live till I die, and then I'll go to heaven. There's no reason to live that kind of a life in any side of this at all. So I just want to encourage you. I'm going to say it again, and it won't be long, and I'm actually going to put out some videos. We had a lot that we had to get done today, and we didn't get it done, but we still had a lot to get done. And stuff. Here's the reality. This fast is called intermittent fasting, which is very interesting. I did not plan to do this, but I know I'm supposed to. Ready? So what is it, Pastor? It's learning to shrink your eating window. Let's say you eat three meals a day. Unless you're someone that is burning all those calories in the work you do, you know, you got severe physical work. You're putting too many calories inside your body. And then if you don't give your system enough time to deal with all of it, then it has to find a place to store the toxins and store the fat, and that's when we begin to gain weight and things begin to go wrong. Here's the bottom line of the whole thing. Your body, my body, designed by God, is designed to be a healthy force. Your body is designed to repair itself every single day when you fall asleep. So if you use your sleep time and you use a few extra hours to fast, you can literally set up in your body two processes. One's called ketosis and the other one's called autophagy. All right. And those two processes heal your body. Literally, they are seeing this heal people from cancer, from AIDS, from every kind of disease that's known to man, from all of the, what do you call them? The pseudo, what's the word for it? Anyways, like fibromyalgia and all of those different diagnoses that they give to people. Literally, they get free from this stuff because you learn to get your body into that place where the body takes care of itself. It literally is designed by God to take care of itself. Now, I'm not going to keep going on for a half an hour. I encourage you, get some doctor's teaching on this and study the science. And then send us an email, a message, and say, hey, Pastor, what are you guys doing? Here's the revelation of it. You get to eat what you want, just a shorter window, and the longer you can keep your body in a fasted state, the greater your body is and the healthier your body is. Your body will lose the weight it doesn't need. You'll go right down to the size where you're supposed to be, the weight you're supposed to be, and all of a sudden you'll sleep better, you'll think better. Everything about your life will improve because your body will now be receiving the proper nutrition that it needs and then allowing it to rest so that your body can actually be full of rest. I really don't know how I got on this. I really do know that I'm supposed to say it. And I encourage you to get involved. Listen, would you like to lose that extra 10 or 15, 70 pounds you don't want? This is the easiest way to do it. Because you still get to eat whatever you want to eat. Should I tell them what I ate today, love? What did we have for, we ate beets and tabbouleh salad, a big, big, huge bowl of Sicily Ann's soup, and I ate a pork chop, and I ate cheese and stuffing, and I ate big old banana split with my love for an afternoon out together, and I had a big mocha latte. Sounds like a fast, doesn't it? No. You see, now it's dark, so I'm going to fast at night, and we'll fast until tomorrow at noon. And the body will have dealt with every bit of that. Anything that was in it was a toxin. And now you wake, now you get up tomorrow, and by tomorrow at noon, you'll be like, wow, how good I feel. And yet you get to eat. You get to eat whatever it is you want to eat. Now, Jesus, help me. All right. Now, what's that have to do with tonight? When you know the truth sets you free. That's our verse for this evening. All right? The truth is your body's designed to be filled with life and health. However, if you don't understand how your body functions and why it functions, you won't understand how to help it be the healthiest being that you can be. So you got to understand the truth. And if you want some good videos to help you understand it, we got some great ones by medical doctors. I love this. You know why? Doctors are like preachers. We don't need your money to preach you a good message. And every one of these doctors who are teaching intermittent fasting are teaching you to get off all medication. They're showing you how. They're showing you how to never need them again. Do you know you don't need a doctor if your body's healthy? Now, you will always need a pastor, but not because he's going to straighten you out, because God's going to give a man of God, a woman of God, a vision, and you're going to go get that done, and that's where that leader is going to take you. What you find these doctors have done now is they've written books about this that teach you how to do it, and that's where their residual income comes from. I love it. The first doctor I heard, Dr. Pradeep, he said, the guy that interviewed him said, what do you have to gain on this? He said, no, nothing. I'm teaching you to get rid of all medication. He said, now, if you want to buy some vitamin K from me, I can help you get that. But he said, I don't have a product to sell you. When he said that, I thought, man, better listen to what this guy has to say. And it's really good. Thank God that take a pill bandage era is ending. Amen, Richard.
The cool thing is that whether these doctors are Christians or believers or not, they're all confessing to how amazingly our bodies were designed.
Yeah.
They, every one of them say these bodies were designed to heal themselves.
Yeah.
So they're proving the Bible right.
And many of them, you can tell they're still evolutionists, which I have no idea how you can be an evolutionist and say it. But like she said, they're saying our bodies are designed to give you help. Wait. Pastor, how in the world are you going to make this into the message for this evening? This book is designed by God to produce life and life more abundantly in you if you'll let it. If you'll grab a hold of this book, take the principles off of this page, not just run around and act religious, but truly, truly have the righteousness of God on the inside, truly walk with God, truly live with God, truly hide this word in your heart so that you can lay hands on people and they'll be set free. So when you speak his word, it'll actually come to pass in people's lives. That's what it is. And this Bible, when you know the truth will set you free in Jesus' mighty name. Well, there you go. I did not plan to do that at all. But I don't apologize because it's an amazing answer for you. And you keep watching my Facebook, Sister Leanne's Facebook, the Facebook for the Community of Faith. And you're going to see these videos showing up because some of them are not believers at all. I don't encourage you to follow some of them any farther than their medical knowledge of how this body works. That's what you have to do. Study the science of how the body works. Now, if some of them get into New Age and they're telling you to get into Reiki and all that kind of stuff, don't do any of that. That stuff's all of the devil. Don't get into that stuff. It's not yoga. You don't need yoga to do this. You just need to be healthy. Get out and go do some walking. Some of you, if your body was more healthy and it didn't have any of the poisons and toxins in it, you'd get up and start exercising. It's good preaching. I'm telling you right now, it's good preaching. I know I'm doing really good. Now, so here we go. Let's start with our opening prayer like we always do, or like we do sometimes. And we try to do most times. I just want to see you know God. And then I want to see you be healthy. And it's amazing how many people I know, especially preachers, who know God, and they are not healthy. I don't understand what that's all about. I don't know how that can happen. But this is what we know. That make the word of God work in every part of your life. Not just when you go to church. Make the word of God work in every part of your life, every day, all the time. Here we go. See if we can get everything to go in the right place over here. Thank you, Father. told you this morning I was going to get the pledge to the Word of God. And guess what? I didn't get it. So I'm going to tell you again. Tonight, I'm going to get the pledge to the Word of God from you. There you go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Here we go. If you can rise, rise together with me. And we'll make our pledges. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. And they pledge to the American flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now, our opening prayer. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration boldly through the blood of Jesus as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Now pause for a minute and just say this with me. Father, help me understand all of that.
Father, help me understand all of that.
In Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry that lives will be changed forever by the Word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. The commanded blessing of unity. Think about that statement. This is a commanded blessing. That's pretty big. And it comes from God. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity. It is the precious anointing oil running down on the edge of Aaron's garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there, in dwelling together in unity, the Lord commands the blessing on our life, life forevermore. As Jesus instructs us, we agree together for the victory. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. How amazing is that? Say it with me. God's right here.
God's God's right here.
With us right now.
Right now.
In Jesus' mighty name. All believers are one and the same in God, our Father. There is one body and one spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift.
Thank you, Father,
for your grace on your gift in my life. Now, let's go down here to the Patriot Prayer of Dedication. Well, hold on. Let's grab this one first. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word. The blood of every martyr, every fallen soldier, every victim of terrorism, every child that's been aborted cries out today. Father, bring heaven's justice against these workers of iniquity who pervert justice and have no regard for life. We ask for your mercy. We repent of the sins of the nations of the world. We seek your face. We turn from our wicked ways. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, and heal our land. And when we do, the blood of Jesus speaks a better word. Isn't that awesome?
Mm-hmm.
Father, help us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Will our land be bright with freedom's holy light? Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King,
forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land.
We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
And amen. And now, the declaration crushing the isms. In the name, high above every name, high above every principality, high above every power, might, and dominion, in the name of Jesus, we stand in the blood and righteousness of Jesus. We bind all of the effects of the isms, atheism, secular humanism, communism, socialism, feminism, chauvinism, racism, terrorism, Satanism, and all isms. It is impossible for your wickedness to overcome the United States of America's righteousness,
which is our strength.
Righteousness exalts this nation. God said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. to all the isms. You have no right or claim or historic authority to our promised land. We know who we are. We will not yield our weapons of protection to you, not our Bibles, our Constitution, or our rifles. You may think we have been driven off, but we, the children of God, have returned to our God and have joined together in agreement to rebuild every wall that seems to be torn down in the realm of the spirit and in the natural. We declare that every weapon you have formed against freedom comes back on you now. Every pit you have dug for freedom, liberty, and the United States of America to fall into,
you
fall into yourself and are destroyed immediately. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 144, 14. Our enemies will not invade our land, and there will be no breach in our walls. These are the walls we are rebuilding, the walls of righteousness. Don't you just love these confessions?
I do.
I love it. We bind the perverse spiritual forces behind humanism, declaring that by the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit, the humanistic agenda and all of its yokes are destroyed by the word of truth. All of its efforts are dead from the roots up, and the believers will say like the disciples, Master, that tree we cursed is dead. With your authority, might, dominion, and empowerment,
we prophesy the end of the humanistic agenda.
The voices of the ecclesia will continually become louder than the voices of the humanist
abomination.
We are the righteous,
and we are
as bold as the lion of the tribe of Judah in us.
Amen.
We raise our voices louder than the government. We know as we pray, you hear our voice in heaven, and their voice will no longer be heard by man on earth, because people see the truth and accept it. We know you hear our prayers. We know we have the petitions that we ask. We know you are baptizing the body of Christ with power from on high to contend for the faith and take authority over this force of wickedness. We declare deliverance, salvation comes today to those who have been bound by its deception. We believe that all across this land, powerful demonstration of your ecclesia will be seen continually. We ask for it. We declare it. We prophesy it. In Jesus' name,
amen.
And amen, amen, and amen. There's just something about these prayers that just inspire me every time we pray.
Yeah, very empowering.
Huh. Hold on just a second. There we go. Let's go to our first set of verses for tonight. I love that last statement that's just hanging there from Richard. Thank God the take a pill bandage era is ending.
Amen.
Nobody else has made any statements for a while. That's just kind of hanging there. And it's like, that's a good one to just leave hanging. Yeah. It's ending. Thank God. Now, I want you to go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 1-5 just to keep it in. Let's read 1-11 to keep it in context. Because I like to keep things in context. I'm going to do a little search here on my... Wow. Isn't that something?
What?
I just had a thought about the statement that Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, but then he would say, but I say unto you, I searched the phrase you have heard in the New Testament. 19 times that is used in the New Testament.
Oh, really?
The phrase in the New King James. So here we go. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And, you know, we haven't done this in a while. Let's do it. Let's hold our Bibles up. We'll make our confession. I don't have it. I don't have it there. All right, here it is. I don't have it where you can see it. Just say it with me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's Word says.
I believe what God's Word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because He is the great I am.
Because He is the great
I am. I go do what He tells me to do. And I go do what He tells me to do.
And I go do what He tells me.
The Holy Spirit of God,
my resident teacher,
is making His Word come alive
in my life
tonight. I receive the Word of God
and
plant Him as a seed
in
the good soil of my heart,
producing
a hundredfold return and more. In my spirit, soul, and body.
In
Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. Here we go. Let's read this. Let me get myself over here and there. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 11. The great apostasy. That's not a dish at the Italian restaurant. That's a bad joke, but I was trying real hard. The Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from faith. Think about that. You can't depart unless you was once in it.
Wow.
Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrine of demons. If you just notice that face, I looked up Pete Sicilian twisting the monitor over here just to get it in a better position. And it's like, oh, that's solid. Don't twist too hard, man. That pop, bang. And you're like, oh, that's so good. Oh, that's so good. Okay. They're going to give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Look at this. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Oh, I keep reading. Forbidding to marry. All right. Don't do that. Commanding to abstain from foods. Don't do that. Which God created to be received with thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus. By those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good. And nothing is to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Thank God for jumbo shrimp and sushi. Don't worry about it. If you instruct the brother in these things, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Remember, this is Paul talking to Timothy, who's pastoring the most corrupt community, vile community. Ephesus was vile. And yet here, Timothy had the largest church of all of Asia at that time. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. Reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. Now, I was studying Rick Renner on this. And Rick is an amazing scholar of church history. All right. And he was just a good old Southern Baptist boy till Jesus got a hold of him and said, get out of the Baptist church, go join those guys, and I'm going to take you around the world and preach the gospel and look what God's done with him. He's one of the greatest Greek scholars that has ever been and wrote two amazing works on the Greek language. Reject profane and old wives' fables. He said one of those that they've had to reject is that in Ephesus, there was this belief, well, it was part of the temple of Diana, that it was one of the greatest honors for your daughter to grow up and become a temple whore. Where they literally would go in and have sex with men at the altar in the temple of this false god. Wait, that's a old wives fable, and reject those profane and old wives' fables. Exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little. They didn't have a 24-hour gym yet where the Apostle Paul could go. It was a good joke, whether you caught it or not. Godliness is profitable all things, having the promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful thing and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Remember, Paul is teaching Timothy in Ephesus, Timothy, who is the pastor of the Ephesian church. The book of Ephesians, it's one of the greatest books of the New Testament. I've said for years, the book of Ephesians can stand alone as the whole Bible. If that was the only book you had, you'd come out the other end of your Christian life a mighty warrior for the cross if you just believed everything that was in the book of Ephesians and studied it profusely and read it daily and gave yourself to it. If that's all you had, you'd be an amazing Christian. And yet, it was given to Pastor Timothy, who was in the midst of the most corrupt, vile, perverse society there was. Ephesus was filled with statues of naked people. It was filled with it. It was everywhere. Why? Because it's where the temple of the great god, it's where the temple of Diana was. I ain't going to call her great because she wasn't great. That's what evil men said about her. Now, let's go. Let's go to our next days. I don't know about your next days, but let's go to the let's go to the next set of verses. That's 2 Timothy 3. Now listen. Don't get hung up. I'm going to read some downer verses, but we're going to end on you'll know the truth and it'll set you free. Okay? So listen to this. 2 Timothy 3, and we're going to read 1 through 9. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 9. Know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. Would you consider where we are today perilous? I consider these very, very, very perverse and perilous times. Men will be lovers of themselves, and so will women. What do? All people do all day long. They're taking pictures of themselves with their phone.
Yeah.
I love to see these shorts on Facebook and YouTube where somebody's taking a picture of themselves right by the water, and somebody walks by and flicks the phone and it goes down in the water. I just think that's probably mean, isn't it? Right. Wait, hold on. I'm going to repent right now publicly. Father, forgive me. I don't want anybody knocking my phone out of my hand in Jesus' name. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. From such people, turn away. Now, if you go back to the beginning of the book of Timothy, chapter 1, this is written to the people of God. These books are written to the people of God. They're not written. It's not written to sinners. It's written to the people of God. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. And he said the same thing in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. To Timothy, a beloved son. He's talking to Timothy about his church. All of these people in chapter 3, 1 through 9, are in the church. Wait, they're in the churches of today. Mm-hmm. All right. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, denying its power, from such people turn away. Now let me just put this together for you. In chapter 4, verse 1, it says that the people are going to leave. Why? They give heed to a seducing spirit. But what is the design of a seducing spirit except to figure you out? That spirit has come to study you. It knows what makes you mad. It knows what makes you greedy. It knows what makes you do all of the works of the flesh. And it's going to do its best to do that and cause that to come out of you every day. It studies you. It watches how you respond to the Spirit of God on you. And then does its best to give you that same experience by a demonic spirit, so that you'll follow the demonic spirit away and it'll lead you to the flesh, because the Holy Spirit leads you to righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. I've heard many people say throughout my lifetime as a preacher, and I'm coming up on 30 years now, Pastor, I know that's what the Bible says, but this is what the Holy Spirit said to me. I know that's the Bible, but no, the Holy Spirit's not going to ever give you a but about the Bible. The Holy Spirit is going to come to show you Jesus and reveal Jesus unto you. There's never going to be a day the Holy Spirit tells you something outside of the Bible. Never, ever, one time. Never. That's why we love Dr. Hilton Sutton's teaching so much, is because what does he say five times in every lesson? Yeah, but what does the Bible say? Where is the chapter and verse? What does that do for you and me to say, wait a minute, why did I just make that statement, and where is that found in the book? Because here's the reality. You and I are going to stand before Jesus someday and give an account of what we believe. Remember what Jesus said. You and I are going to give an account every idle word that we speak. And if you and I are allowing ourselves to be led by a deceiving spirit and not questioning, wait, is that in the Bible? Then all of a sudden, we're going to be steered away from the wonderful word of God and say, well, I know that's the Bible, Pastor, but this is what I believe. And you might say, yeah, but people don't really do that, do they? Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. If you only, matter of fact, in the mighty name of Jesus, I speak over everybody within the sound of my voice right now tonight, that every time you or anybody else makes that statement, it becomes very apparent to you immediately.
Yeah.
And if it comes out of your mouth, you'll challenge that thing immediately and you'll crush it underneath your feet. And the eyes of your understanding will be opened up to understand, wait a minute, this is a very severe battle that we got to win. And listen, if you just walk by the truth and it's your number one goal to say, wait, where is that in the Bible? You're not going to give heed to a seducing spirit, because that devil knows you're going to challenge every statement that comes. Wait, show me that in the Bible. I've had people look at me and say, you're just too stuck on the Bible. And I've looked at them and said, you can go do whatever you want to do. You don't have to be around me. I guarantee you, I'm going to be stuck in this book, and my nose is going to be stuck in this book, and I'm not going to give myself over to a deceiving, foul, seducing spirit. I want you to think about this fact. Jesus the Christ is standing in front of the scribes and the Pharisees, who could quote from memory the Pentateuch. They could quote from memory the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They could quote it. Somebody search it up and find out how many verses are in the Pentateuch. Search that up. Pentateuch. Search it up and find out how many verses that is. They can quote it. And yet, Jesus the Christ is standing right in front of them, and they couldn't perceive that it was him. Why? Because even though they knew the word of God, what word did they have by then? They had the Pentateuch, they had the poetry, and they had the prophets. So they had the law, and they had the poetry, they had the prophets, they had the kings, the chronicles of the history of Israel, but they couldn't discern that Jesus the Christ was standing right in front of them. Why? They had given heed to a seducing, deceiving spirit. What's it say?
5,888.
Verses.
Mm-hmm.
5,888 verses. How many chapters does it give it? Anyways, Richard said 187.
Oh, okay.
Wait, no. I don't think that was verses. I'm not sure what that number was.
Maybe that was the chapter.
All right. But wait, here's the reality. they could quote that much of the Word of God, and they didn't see that Jesus the Christ was standing in front of them.
187
chapters. Thank you, Richard. Yeah. They could quote 187 chapters, but they couldn't discern that Jesus was there. What had they done? They'd given themselves over to a seducing, deceiving spirit. Now, where am I at? Does anybody know? I know where I'm at. Now, hold on just a second. Let me, let me grab another verse here. Hold on, just give me a second. Don't be so impatient. Hold on, give me just a second. Goodness sakes alive. Now, yeah, isn't that something? Interesting. So let's do this. Let's do, go back here to Matthew 24:10. Wow. It says, then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. That's an end. That's where you and I are right now. 1 Timothy 1:19. 1 Timothy 1:19. Having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. Having faith and a good conscience, that is good toward God. Remember 4:1 says they've seared their conscience with a hot iron. Of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, who I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. That's a pretty big statement right there.
Learn one way or another.
Right. Exactly. Now, let's go to 1 Timothy 4:1. We studied that one that says they will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Dr. Hilton Sutton at one point in Revelation says, wherever there's false doctrine that is believed and held onto, there will always be sexual immorality. Wow. Yeah. And send Dr. Hilton Sutton all of those cards and letters that you want to say to him. Make the reference 777 Hallelujah Street, because that's where his address is. No. Then we read, they will turn their ears away from the truth, and they will be turned aside to fables, 2 Timothy 4:4. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Now, I'm going to get to John chapter 8 in a minute, but right now we got to build this up like this is. Let's go back to verse 3 now. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. All right, hold on just a second. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. Is I just moving again? I love to have my wife sitting across the table from me. Why? because she has the eyes that look and say, where in the world are you at? Let me pause and everybody get caught up.
You don't have John here tonight going, wait, what? Where are you?
Second Timothy 4:3. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Not Aesop's fables either. Words that aren't true. Everybody pause for a minute, just a minute here.
I did not know that that's what that song was about, Richard. Dirty Diana from Michael Jackson. I didn't know that's what that song was about.
I didn't know either.
Wow.
But thank God we have a Michael Jackson fan here with us tonight. I'm not joking, Richard. Don't accuse me of that mess. Hold on, just give me a second here. I'm doing something. And they shall turn their ears away from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables, a tale that is fiction, a myth. All right? It actually shows up 5 times in the Bible. Wow. Timothy, we just read Timothy. And then Timothy refused profane and old wives' fables. And then the one we just saw, Titus 1:14. Look at this. Not giving heed to Jewish fables or American ones, and the commandments of men that turn men from the truth. That's Titus 1:14. Let me give you one more reference. And that is 2 Peter 1:16. Oh yeah, let's just do this. 2 Peter 1:16-21. Used to like the music, and then I came to know the truth. You know, let's speak about Michael Jackson for a minute. I didn't know Michael Jackson. I didn't listen to that kind of music at all. I was at Bible college where we had to have all of our music checked before we could listen to it. However, I went on a mission trip to Northern Alaska and the Yukon Territory. And would you believe that Michael Jackson evangelized Northern Alaska and the Yukon? Because we left on the first vacation Bible school experience, and we flew from Fairbanks to a little village called Tanacross. No, what was it called? Ketlin. Anyways, a little village. And you either had to fly in by plane or you had to go up the river by the boat. All right? And of course, it's summertime. And so we went in and landed. We flew in by airplane. We had 2 planes, a Cessna 172 and a 182 that flew us in. And it was so wild because that's the story I tell of the missionary saying, wow, we've got too much stuff in this plane. And we kept loading. And then he said, wow, we got too much stuff in this plane. We kept loading. And of course, I'm hearing in my mind the story of who's the guy that died? He didn't die in a plane crash, but he died after he landed his plane on the sandbar down in South America, and the Indians killed him.
Wow. goodness.
What was his name? Elizabeth. Elizabeth Elliot, her husband, whatever his name was, Mr. Elliot. So I'm remembering the story of dying for your faith, and I finally said, Roger, you just said three times we got too much stuff, and we've got to put two more women in the back of this plane with us. Well, they weren't like hefty girls, but they were, you know, probably 135, 40 pounds apiece. And he said, we got a long runway here. We'll be able to get off. I'm like, okay, but we got to stop when we get. I don't know anything about aeronautics, you know. And so we're loading the plane. And so the girls, the two girls sat behind in the back. And then I'm up with Roger, and he's like, you want to fly it? I'm like, yeah. So I'm flying the airplane. All right. And we got my headset on, and the 182 is in front of us. And Paul, whatever his name is, he comes on the radio and says, hey, Roger, when you land, be careful. They got about 200 feet of the runway tore up by a dozer. Just make sure you take all the ball field and don't hit the backstop. I'm way off what I was trying to say, but it's a good story. And Roger landed it like a bush pilot, and we spun all the way around the outfield and came right up and landed, sat it right down just about right at home. But check this out. Here we are in this Indian village that's in the middle of nowhere. Like nowhere? Like you can only get there by plane and by boat? And they had Michael Jackson's Thriller album. They had the whole album. Only once or twice did I hear let the whole album play. And we stayed in this little hut, you know. And for the first 18 hours of our experience in this village, that guy next door replayed the song Thriller over and over and over and over and over. He was being discipled by Michael Jackson in a village in northern, and then we went to the Yukon Territory. Do you know what they had out there in the Yukon Territory on top of that mountain that was right outside the village? They had a radio tower. Do you know what they played on that radio station? Michael Jackson, the Thriller.
I loved Michael Jackson's music myself.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare over our sister Leanne that she is delivered from the Michael Jackson spirit. Well, there. Let's get back to our lesson about listening to wives' tales. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and believe Michael Jackson songs. Where was I at? Oh, Titus 1. No, we're in 2 Peter.
Yeah, 2 Peter 1.
Wait, did we get Hebrews?
No.
We didn't? Hold on just a second. We're supposed to have Hebrews 3:12.
We do not have that yet.
Wow. Hebrews 3:12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. An evil heart of unbelief. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we've become partakers of Christ. Now, Titus, no. 2 Peter. chapter 1. We're going down to verse 16. Am I with you?
Yes.
Where do I go next? Here we go, 16 to 21, and then now we're going to finally get to where we're going. Oh, my goodness, look what time it is. We're just going slow, man. I got all kinds of time yet tonight. Usually the clock goes fast. Is that still working? Yeah. Here we go. For we do not follow cunningly devised fables. Let's ask a question about that. Who is cunningly devising these fables? Man or demons? Because all error really comes from the enemy, right? All lies and lying. This book, Peter, is written to believers. So these are people that have given themselves over to seducing and deceiving spirit, doctrines of demons. Ready? Looks like God. Sounds like God. Might give you a goosebump like God. But it doesn't lead you to righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. This is what it sounds like. I know that's the Bible, but I've always believed. Or like I've always said. Now, wait a minute. There's nothing wrong with being confident in what you know. But where does our confidence have to reside? In the word of Almighty God. Remember what Jesus said? When you know the truth sets you, if you're not free, question whether you know the truth. You might find the Holy Spirit saying, I've been wondering when you was going to look at this. Keep reading. I'm back in 2 Peter 1:16. We do not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Hold your place there. Let's go look at another verse. 1 Corinthians 2. Look at Paul said. Verses 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? So that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. You know, one of the things that we can do to find out if we are in faith and if we are walking with God and if we are got our life on the foundation, lay your hands on people. Begin to speak over them. Begin to pray for them to be delivered and set free and transformed. Wait, why do you say it, Pastor? Because if the word of God is not dwelling in you richly, and it's a fable and a wives' tale. As soon as you put your hand out on somebody to say, in Jesus' name be healed, you'll have all kinds of stuff come up on the inside why you shouldn't say that. And every bit of it that comes up, challenge it, because it's coming from the wrong spirit. Why? Because Jesus said, those who believe in my name will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Amen? And then it says, and the Lord went with them, confirming the word they spoke with signs following. I don't know everybody that's watching. We've had as many as six people on watching, or eight, whatever it was. But the idea is this. If you find your life right now saying, wait a minute, man, I don't have any of this in my life, I would encourage you to begin to look. What are you actually believing in God? I'm not taking your salvation away from you. Ask yourself the question, have I really been born again? Or did I just start going to a church and acting like all the people that were there? Right? The Bible says you must be born again. And see, this is the Apostle Paul telling them, when I came to you, I didn't come with the persuasive words of man's wisdom. You go over to Philippians chapter 3. Let's just look at that. Philippians chapter 3. This is the Apostle Paul talking about himself. Chapter 3, verse 5. 5 through 7. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. So you know what that means? His mom and daddy did it right. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. That was Rachel's most loved and Joseph's most loved. Rachel and Israel's most loved tribe was Benjamin. A Hebrew of the Hebrews. He had a doctorate degree in being a Hebrew. Concerning zeal, he was a Pharisee. Concerning the righteousness by the law, blameless. He could keep all 613 of them. But what did Paul say when he came? I didn't come to you with persuasive words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Why? So that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. 2 Peter 1, let's go to verse 17 now. 2 Peter, wow, thank you, Jesus. That's amazing. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Verse 18. And we heard this voice. This is Peter saying. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. That's the mountain of transfiguration. All right. Verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. What's the dark place that the light shines in? Inside of you. Because you have darkness until Jesus, the light of the world, comes and lives on. But as soon as he comes, change your if to since. That's our title for them. I've not said the title too many times already. But you got to change your if to a since. But you got to do that by being found in the word of God and not in these cunningly devised fables. You know, what was that one we were talking about the other day? Well, one of them is, well, you know how it is. Every time you get something going, something else shows up and just tears it all to pieces. No matter how hard I try, I just go farther behind. You hear people say it all the time, I take 2 steps forward and then 3 backwards. But you're getting exactly what you're speaking. Those are the words of the enemy, of the other side. He's trying to get you to believe it. He's trying to get you to stay bound in it. And you don't want to be in it. You don't want to be bound in that. You might say, well, Pastor, I don't want that to come to pass. That's just what's happening in my life. Well, I got a good word for you then. No longer let that happen in your life. One guy says, yeah, but it's the truth about what's going on in my life. I know. But guess what else is the truth? If you want the dog to come to you, you don't call the cat. If you're standing on the back step of your house and you want Spike, who's over there, come here, you don't call the cat because the cat's laying in front of you. You call what's missing to get to where it's supposed to be. I'm preaching better than you're staring right now. Totally lost track of where I'm at here. Where did my blog talk radio go?
Oh.
It'd be all right. It's right here somewhere. It'll be all right, even if it's not there. There we go. Now, think about this fact. So you've lived your whole life believing whatever that thing is, and it didn't produce any life. Peter's saying right here, hold it. We have the prophetic word confirmed in our life. What's Peter saying? These signs follow them who believe, just like Jesus said when he was going up. And then as we went and preached his word, he confirmed that word with signs following. I encourage you. I want to see you do this. The next time somebody says, will you pray for me? Say, yes, let me put my hand on you. And you're going to see what you believe. And you start praying. If you're not praying for them to be delivered, transformed, set free, for life and life more abundantly to come to them, what are you preaching for? Lord Jesus, just help them suffer with you. We know that you give us suffering so we can grow and develop in you. That's a lie out of the pit of hell. No, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Everywhere you and I speak, life and life more abundantly. Everywhere we go, we speak life and life more abundantly. Look at what it says. I'm in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. So we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in dark places until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is any private interpretation. But prophecy never came by the will of man. Even though preachers say all the time, well, like Paul said, no, like Paul said, by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspired him to say it. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now let's go to John chapter 8. I got to get your if changed to a sense. One of the things that happens, John 8 and 21 through 47. John 8, 21 through 47. One of the things that happens to us is we got to lay down the old wives' tables, tales, and fables. A table, a wives' table, is like a table, is like a fable, we got to lay that stuff down. And we got to get our nose in this book and get our faith on the Word of God. Now watch what Jesus said. And I'm going to begin reading in 21. And I'm going to change your if to a since. Because when you know the truth sets you free. When you know the truth, you will no longer say, if you abide in my word. You'll say, I abide in the word. Amen. God is good. That's good, Sunday. God is good. That's good. You can find a wise table at Disney. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Here we go. I'm in John 8:21. Watch this. Jesus said to them again, I'm going away, and you'll seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. Now, you see, he's speaking to the scribes and Pharisees. The Jews said, will he kill himself? Because he says, where I go, you cannot come. He said to them, you are from beneath. I'm from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sin. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Jesus the Christ is standing in front of them, and he's having to be this blatant in front of their, right to their face, saying, you're going to die in your sin. It's pretty serious. Don't make Jesus have to get this serious with you to get it right, all right? They said unto him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say to you, to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world. I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. And then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him. And he spoke these, as he spoke these words, many believed. You know what was wrong with many believing? That freaked the scribes and Pharisees right out, because they had no longer had any control over those people. You know how messed up it is? You know how messed up the spirit of religion gets when he realizes he no longer has control over you? The spirit of religion gets really messed up. Why? It's like that time Dr. Barclay went on the TV. They were going to do a live interview with him. And he said, when they called him to see if he'd do a live interview, he said, well, I don't know. So he called Dr. Summerall and said, you know, Doc, what's going to happen? He goes, did they send you a list of questions? He goes, yeah. He goes, they won't ask you any of them. He said, no. He goes, no. And you're not going to be able to be prepared for it. Just go, and God, the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say when you do it. And he said, and don't listen to a word they say. They're all a bunch of windbags or something like that. So he shows up. He's in the green room. He gets the makeup on. He gets the mic on. He sits down. And he said, The host said, now we sent you some questions. And pastor said, well, yes, but I want to know. And he said, to get that sound in their voice, like, I heard that you speak in tongues. What they're trying to do is trying to make him ashamed of it.
Yeah.
He said, I sure do. Shambandola sakalamane pedisita. He said, never knew how many people it took to run a TV show. There was people coming from every direction. Go to commercial. Get cut. Stop. They said, Reverend, you can't do that here. He said, well, you asked me if I spoke in tongues, and I do, so I knew you wanted to hear it. They're like, well, you're going to do it again? He goes, I don't know. When the Holy Spirit comes on me, I just have to speak in tongues. They're like, the interview's over. He said, all right, see you later. Probably went out the door and called Dr. Summerall and said, you were right. Why? They don't want to know the truth. See, that's one of our greatest challenges. Do you want to know the truth? Say it with me. I want to know the truth.
I want to know the truth.
Wait. Say it to Jesus. I want to know the truth.
I want to know the truth.
I want to know the truth. Wait. You ready? Let's get real bold about it. Say this with me. I want to know the truth about me.
I want to know the truth about me.
Where am I really at, Jesus? Wait, Pastor. But what if Jesus says something I don't like? Well, how could he say something you don't like when he gave you his righteousness? How could that ever even be possible? But what if I have to change things? What are you not willing to change to have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? See, what did they hand you when you went to church? Denominational book, religiosity, religious fervor? Or did they help you find the righteousness of God so that righteousness, all your sins were imputed to Jesus and his righteousness was imputed to you? Amen. Show me my heart, O Lord. You get me a Kleenex, love. Now, this is what it looks like. This is you, and this is you on drugs. No, remember that commercial?
I do remember that.
All right. This is you. Is that why there's snow? No. What did one guy say? That's like a latte, you know, not too much mocha in there. But watch. This is a Kleenex, and it's not really as white as snow. There's a little bit in it. But the idea is, look at the difference in white. My finger is not white compared to the white, right? So this is you, but this is what God sees when he looks down on you, white as snow, right? Your sins were imputed to Jesus. His righteousness is imputed to you, and he sees you white as snow. But Romans chapter 12 comes in and says, now you got to renew your mind. Why? Because all those wives' tables, all tales, all those foolish tables at Disney or something that Richard said, see, they're still in there. You got to get them out by discipleship. By training, that's why Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. What do you got to teach them? You got to teach them the ways of God. We're getting ready to read the verse. It says, if you abide in my word, disciples indeed. Well, you and I here, we're abiding in the word of God every single time we come here. So you and I can change the if to since. Since we abide in the word of God, we are his disciples indeed. And our prayer needs to be just like Brother Richard just put in, show me my heart, O Lord. We were listening to a really good message today. How messed up is it when you see somebody else promoted to a position that you wanted to have or be in? What's the condition of your heart? When you see somebody else blessed and prospered in God, what does it do for you? You see somebody else healed of the very thing you want to be healed of, and you still seem to be fighting for it. What goes on down in here? Wait a minute. What about the last time Bertha Big Mouth or Benny the benefactor just runs their lips about you? And then you watch God set them free. You think you are setting them people free. You like Jonah? When you go and finally preach and they actually repent of their sin and you get angry at God because they repented of their sin because you want them to be judged by God, bless God, be judged. Wait, I'll give you one right now that all of us are dealing with. 10 million illegal aliens come into this country? Can you pray for them to find God and walk with God and love God, find Jesus and become good American citizens? Hello? Wait. This is what God's dealing with me about. So I'm not going to leave you out of the picture. See this verse. Look at verse 31. Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But yeah, amen, Sister Sunday, yes. Yes, I did, and I'm going to keep praying for him to find Jesus. I went to the post office the other day over here, and a very Chinese attitude come out up out of that post office and looked at me and sneered. And I thought, went and got in a totally unmarked white pickup. Nothing on it. And can I pray for him to find Jesus or find the jail cell? Now, I guarantee you, everybody that's come here to do us wrong, find the jail cell, find the prison cell. Matter of fact, dig a hole and put you underneath of it till you turn your heart to Jesus. But if you want to know Jesus and you want to live in the great United States of America and be a valuable citizen, that's what I'm praying for God to do for your life. You come here to destroy us and to take our life and you don't want nothing to do with who we are, then no. Go to jail, go to prison, home. See what Jesus is teaching us? If you abide in my word, well, you and I believe, can say, since we abide in your word, we know the truth, and the truth sets us free. Now, I've talked about doctrines of demons, deceiving spirits, and foolish tables you find at Disney. I've been talking about those all night long. But look what Jesus said. When you know the truth sets you free from all of that. When you look at yourself in the mirror. You ready? This mirror. When you look at yourself in the mirror of God's word, what do you see? Pastor, I still see a little confusion. Well, confusion is of the devil. So get your face, open this book back up, and get an understanding of the book. Isn't that something? Watch this. This whole program, I keep thinking I got an audio I got to play. I'm like, what am I playing an audio for? It just hit me. See if it works. You think it'll work?
Yes.
Let's try. I made an audio this week for myself. Why? Because I'm going to get this doctrine down that Jesus is teaching us. I'm going to share the audio with all y'all. I've got a copyright on it. Watch this. Oh, that ain't going to work.
Are you on Zoom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on. Hold on. Everybody just hold on a second. Don't get impatient.
We're holding. Now you're going to get to see the
multi-billion-dollar kingdom-air mentality. Luke 12:13. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded bountifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods." Verse 19. "And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will these things be which you have provided?' So he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God, so is he. Then he said to his disciples, 'Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing.'" Verse 24. "Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith?" 29. "And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind, for all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have, give alms, provide for yourselves money bags, which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief destroys, no thief approaches, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you, that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come in and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise steward, whom his master will make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant who his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, that he will make him ruler over all he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, and at an hour when he's not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to him whom much has been committed, of him they will seek the more. Now, Matthew 25, verse 14 through 30. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each one according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had reckoned received the 5 talents, went, traded with them, and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of these servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. The Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he who had been given one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. His Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. So therefore, take the talent from him, give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing.
Oh, jeez. Shut the whole thing off again. Now, you might say, what's that all about, Pastor?
I am determined. I am going to get the parable of the mina, the parable of the talent, and the parable of the unjust steward. I'm going to come to an understanding of it. Well, there's only one way to get that understanding, and that is get your nose in the book. Well, I drive my semi 14, 16, 18 hours some days. There's not too much time to put your nose in the book. However, you take one setting and you pick up your phone and you click that audio and create an audio of those three chapters writings together, it gives you the ability to listen to it and say, wait a minute, what does this mean? Here's the revelation of it. Every time you listen to it, you get a better understanding. And you listen to it again, you get a better understanding. This is what Jesus is saying right here in John chapter 8. If you know the truth will set you free. But you got to abide in the word for it to happen. Some people only come to church and say, if the pastor can study the Bible, digest it, and bring it to me, then I'll be set free. And if he can't, well, better than him is tried anyway, so we'll wait till the next guy comes along. Maybe he's better. No, that's eating somebody else's digested food. Unless you're a pelican or, you know, something like that, one of those birds, that's not going to work for you. Can you imagine coming over to my house and I got to chew your steak up for you and get it all a bunch of big soggy mess and then hand it back to you? I got all the salt and all the spice and all the seasoning, and I got all the good stuff. Here's why I'm saying this, because the title of tonight's program is Change Your If to a Since. But you ready? Nobody can change your if to a since for you. You got to do it yourself. Because look at what Jesus said. If you abide in my word. I can't abide in God's word for you. You can't abide in God's word for me. Now, listen. I love Sister Leanne with everything in me. But I can't walk with God for her. Pray for her. She's just a mess. I know all the women are like, if you could just keep your candle lit compared to her. You know how that goes, right? No. We got to walk with God for ourselves. And there's the 90 seconds.
Scared us a little bit, huh?
See,
I'm not going to walk around with you every day and say, see, you're believing a fable. You don't need me to do that. The Holy Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. When was the last time you submitted to him? When was the last time you submitted to the Holy Spirit on the inside? Now, I'm not saying you're not in any sense of the word. But this message is kind of, you know, cutting a swath here so that we get a look at ourselves, say, wait a minute. Well, let's say it this way. There's a lot of deep understanding in that set of three different parables or stories that I just read right there on that. And if you want that audio, I'll be glad to send it to you. But you know what's going to happen when you get the truth about those three audio, those three messages? Not 10 seconds. That's not true. What's going to happen is you and I are going to have a revelation of God and from God about our own lives of what we've got to do, because we got to be a steward of what God put in us. And nobody can do that except you. I don't know who you know. I walk where you walk. You don't walk where I walk. Well, God wants us to reach people. Amen? I was given an assignment by God this week. I was continually going back to the same sand mine over and over and over. And there's people there that do not speak the language, do not speak English. But they're hardworking men, and they do have a job, and they are getting paid. All right? Could they be illegals, Pastor? They probably are. I don't know if they are. But that's not what matters. Because I don't need to be an illegal alien finder. I need to be a Jesus Christ sharer. So I kept coming back to the same spot, and the Holy Spirit said, now between these loads, go fill up your tank and buy them all a sandwich. Getting ready to be breakfast time. So I went in there, and sure enough, they had hot sandwiches out and ready. And I bought the sandwiches, got my load, went back there, and the guy came up to the window to get my piece of paper when he's filling me up my sandbox. I'm like, here, brother, I bought you some sandwiches. A very hard individual. And his face just totally changed. He said, wow, thank you, man. And then he just looked up at me like, wow, thank you. We got two for $5. They were actually still hot even. See, you're going to go buy $5 worth of sandwiches for somebody? I don't know what you're going to do. But what we're going to do is we're going to walk with God. We're going to walk with God. God will use us if we're going to live in the truth. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But if we're going to be filled with the old wives' tales from Disney instead of the truth, God's not going to bring you people so you can lead them into a wives' tale. He's going to bring you people so you can lead them to Jesus. He's going to bring you people so you can show them the way the truth, the life. He's going to bring you people so that they can receive life and life more abundantly. That's our assignment, going to all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them, making disciples out of them. See, only you and I can change the ifs of the Bible to since by our obedience to what God says. Let me just read a couple of these. We got time yet? We got a couple more minutes. We got a couple more minutes, love? We do?
We do.
Are you sure?
I don't think anybody's timing anyway.
You? What's going on here? I've heard. Thirty-four times in the Bible, the phrase, you have heard, is recorded. Now, you ready? I'm just going to read these randomly. Actually, I'm starting in Matthew, and we're just going to read through Matthew, or read through a couple of these. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother. Wait, that's not murder is in danger of judgment. Whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. Whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. My. Oh, Jesus. I lost my place. Matthew 5:27. You have heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not commit adultery. Right? Isn't that the Ten Commandments? But I say to you that whoever looks on a woman or a man to lust after them has already committed adultery with them in his heart. But see, nobody knows that sin except you and God. It's so awesome. Don't lose sight of this image. God looks down and says, white as snow. And then he says, let's go through this test right here and let's get you ready so you can handle the glory of God that's coming to your life. Let's go back. Let's grab another one. Matthew 5:38. You have heard it was said of old, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I tell you not to resist an evil person. What? Whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other one. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, give him your coat. If he compels you to go 1 mile, go two. Give to him who asks of you. And for a man who wants to borrow from you, do not turn him away. You have heard that it was said, you will love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Whoops. I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Wait, there's people cussing right now. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. What? Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. I bind you, Jesus. You can't do that. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. And then Jesus said, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collect do the same? Now, let's wait. No, that's finished. 5:47, Matthew 5:47. If you greet your brethren, if you greet your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do that? Jesus ends the whole thing with, therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Yeah, but Pastor, God didn't mean that when he said that. He was just using those words. I know, he was bored and had nothing else to say except the perfect word. No, he meant what he said. Don't change the words in Matthew 5:48. Change yourself. Well, I can never be perfect. You can't be perfect. But Jesus' righteousness can be perfect. Now, can I give you an initial thought about the parable of the talents and all that? I don't have it all worked into a complete message yet, but I have this thought. How much is too much money for someone to have? I don't know if you noticed in my notepad there, I had a couple different notes. One of them was titled Multi-Billion Dollar Kingdom Heir. This is one of the revelations that God gave me. Every one of us have a socioeconomic level that we're supposed to reach as stewards in God's kingdom. And it's not a position of status to be accomplished. It's an economic influence level we're supposed to function at, so we can influence that group of people. Don't look at millionaire as a status to reach, even billionaire. Look at the economic influence level you're supposed to be able to reach. You remember what David said? Covered some stuff tonight, didn't we? Watch this. Psalm 119. Watch this. Some of you are going to freak, but that's all right. I like helping people freak, because once I get you freaked, then I can get you free. Psalm 119. Let's do 10 through 18. And I put it right up here where you can see it. Watch this. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimony as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your works, your word. Look at this verse. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. What is he saying? David's saying, help me to prosper. And David and his mighty men gave $1 billion to Solomon to build the temple. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law, which is the foundation of everything we've said tonight. Open my eyes that I might see the wondrous things from your law. You and I are stewards. Are you supposed to accomplish on this earth? Because according to them, stories Jesus told, you don't want to be the one that went and hid your talent in the sand. Because it's going to be taken away from you. It's going to be given to somebody that's out there doing it. And then you're going to be thrown where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That is not heaven. That is not heaven. Well, Pastor, I don't want that to be said of me. Well, then give yourself diligently every day to walk with God and be found exactly where he's wanting you to be. In Jesus' mighty name. All the ifs of the word of God change to assent. Once you're born again, you've now become the righteousness of God. No longer talk like you're a sinner. Once you're filled with the Holy Spirit, never again talk like you don't understand. Because the very Spirit of truth lives on the inside of you. And he's your personal guide who lives on the inside of you. Change the if to a sense. Grow up in God. Hallelujah. I had all kinds of time, and then I preached for another whole hour. Got me going, and on me went. I think this has been a really good word tonight. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's Saturday night for some reason. Is that what it is? So it's like this is a Sabbath message? Yeah, all right. I got it. Saturday night. Welcome. Glad to have you. Look at Richard. He's delivering barbecue. I have to deliver barbecue. Well, don't deliver it, brother. Berber, eat it. No, it's what?
It's just Berber, no cue.
Berber, no cue. All right. Let's pray. Father, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law, from your word. With no fear of anything we've said tonight, no fear. We just choose to walk with you every single minute of every single day. Help us to be a blessing to everyone that's around us. Help us reach the young and the old, the rich and the poor. Help us reach the American citizen and even the alien. Come across the border illegally. I call every one of you to the kingdom of God in Jesus' name today. May the men and women of God in that city where you are find you. Father, may they have a big X right on their shirt, right on their hoodie. Let's us know. Got to get that one born again. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. We choose to walk with you, Jesus. Thank you that you want us to move from darkness into light. You want us to understand that you're the head and we're the body. And as you are in heaven and the throne, so are we on this earth. Kings and priests unto our God and Father. And we choose it, Father. Shine the light, like Brother Richard said. Shine the light on every part of my life. Anything that's still left in us that's darkness is removed. And we're just filled with the light of God's love. And I probably didn't even pray that prayer right, but I sure meant it good. In Jesus' mighty name.
in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You guys want to shout about something before we go to communion? My mom's book has been sent. I'm not sure what's next in the process, but they're going to grab it and put it all together. Wait till you see this book. This is amazing what God has done. Now, let's go to the communion verses. Richard, that says that you had to deliver. You're delivering barbecue? Is that what that is? You're delivering barbecue? B-R-B-R-B? Can't figure out how barbecue comes out of B-R-B. Don't worry about it. Communion time. Thank you, Rebecca, for reminding me to stay focused. Here we go. We welcome everybody that's with us to receive communion. Remember, no matter what your church believes, you should probably know what Jesus believes about communion. That's an interesting thought, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You should probably believe what Jesus believes about communion, no matter what your church believes. So, as a member of the body of Christ, you get to partake of the body of Christ whenever it's broken, shared. So we're going to read the verses, and then that's going to give us instruction. Then we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. So anybody that might be with us tonight that doesn't know Jesus, you will be able to know Jesus. And then when we're finished, we'll give you a few words of instruction, and then we'll receive the elements together in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, Jesus' redemptive work, until he comes. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. God's love is perfect. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear and its torment in Jesus' name. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. So today, be made perfect in him. And now, the prayer of salvation.
Everybody pray this with us. No matter where you are, I encourage you to pray it every time, because the more you pray it, the deeper it gets inside. And when the time comes that you get to lead somebody in the prayer of salvation, you'll be able to lead them right out of this. Here we go.
Thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem
my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day for me. Reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and your mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I have been made a new creation in you, Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire, so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. And we say, welcome to the family of God. Welcome, 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 welcome. Now, here's your salvation instruction. You might want to take a screenshot of this. Darkness turned to light because Jesus, the light of the world, just came to live inside of you. Fear turned to faith because the author and finisher of your faith now resides in you. You have been made into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus. And there's some verse references that'll show you that. What's going on the inside of you as you are literally being made into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that is an amazing experience, because all of your sins were just imputed to Jesus, but he's the perfect sacrificial lamb. So they're all wiped away and thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. And his righteousness is now imputed into you the moment you're born again. Welcome to the family of God. You might say, Pastor, I don't understand it. I know there's lots to learn, but look at here. Here's my email address and website. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell. We're on YouTube. We're on Rumble. We're on Blog Talk Radio. We're on Facebook. We're glad to have you. We used to be on Facebook Live, but they changed a whole bunch of stuff and blocked our stuff, so we had to leave them, and we're over here now in Jesus' mighty name. And then I've got an excellent bunch of playlists I would love to send you. One is our Read the Word playlist, where we read through the Bible chronologically. You can start it at any time. You can go right to Genesis chapter 1 and read right along with us. It's an excellent way to add the Word of God to your daily life, and it'll be a blessing to you in Jesus' mighty name. And send us a question. Send us 100 questions. Ask us, ask me every question you've ever wanted to ask a preacher. I don't think I ever said that before, have I? It'd be all right. Ask us. Why? We don't know the answers. We know somebody that's got some answers. His name's Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He lives right in here. And we'll bring you the word of God to the best of our ability. And if we don't understand, I'll go to Dr. Barclay and say, I just had this question asked me. How do you answer this? And he'll send me a document 18 pages long about how to answer it. I forget what he said. He has every message he's ever preached recorded in a book.
Really?
Yep, on a shelf somewhere. You know, the notes in it.
Yeah.
So I forget what he said in 30-some thousand different messages. He's got a lot studied. But anyways, that's the value of being connected to a pastor who has a pastor. All right? Here we go. Here's the prayer of the communion elements. And hold them up. Get you some bread, grape juice. Get you some bread and water. If nothing else, Jesus turned the water into wine. And we encourage you. Now listen, Jesus said the fruit of the vine and the bread. So do it. Get it in your house so you can do what the Bible says to do. There's a lot of people are like, oh, well, whatever, Pastor. It's just communion. You see, that begins to become a mentality about your Christian life. And you don't want to do that. That's not good. That's not healthy. That's what we've been preaching about all night long. Here we go. Hold these up. Pray this with me. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread, representing your broken body, and this juice, representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Pray this out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. And by your stripes, I am healed in my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotions. There is nothing missing and nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supplied in my body, from your broken body, Jesus,
in the body of Christ,
in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me for this prayer. I receive the bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's receive the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, here we go. I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague, every curse must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged, my robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me,
I receive the fruit of the vine now
in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. Let's receive the fruit of the vine together. Glory be to God on high. Glory be to God high. And now, like we always do, we sing a song. Hold on. I'm almost there. Let's sing this one. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. It washes white as snow. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your awesome blood in our lives.
Yes.
In Jesus' mighty name. Oh, I just opened the chat. Brother Dan saying, be right back. BRB, be right back. Thank you, Brother Dan. Hallelujah. Here we go. Sister Phyllis, are you there? All right.
Maybe Brother Dan wants to read.
Yeah, Brother Dan, you got to read.
Or Sunday or Rebecca or Richard.
Here we go.
Hop over to Zoom and read to us.
There we go. Ephesians chapter 3. We'll read it. I'm going to read 14 through 21 as our closing. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love this. From whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant to you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit and the inner man. That's where it's going to come, is the inner man. I've gone to preaching. Just keep holding the sign up. Just read. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. What is the length? The width and length and depth and height. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I think that's one of the most awe-striking words in the whole Bible to me.
Yeah.
We get to be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do it, exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And amen. Job chapter 33. God is speaking to man in one way or another, and yet man doesn't perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men and they're slumbering on their beds, then he, God, opens man's ears and seals their instruction in them in order to turn man from his deed, conceal pride from man, keep back his soul from the pit, and his life from perishing by the sword. Thank you, Jesus. Speak it over everybody that's in connection with us. I declare a hundredfold return coming to your life right now tonight.
Amen.
Because you helped us accomplish this mission right here tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, may the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it be yours. In Jesus' mighty name. Till we see you again tomorrow morning for prayer right here. Remember, show up early. I've been starting about half an hour before our start time, and we're watching videos of different things. We're watching Brother Dutch in there and Brother Gene from Flashpoint. We can't watch publicly and broadcast it on YouTube. We're doing it there, and we welcome you on Zoom. Just sign into Zoom about 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central. Just sign into it. And then as soon as I get on, you'll immediately be brought right into it. We're doing it, guys. We are doing it, and I thank you for it. Change your if to a since and keep walking with God like you never had before. In Jesus' mighty name. Sure do love you. See you again. Real soon, in Jesus' mighty name. And there we go. See you real soon, if not sooner. I don't even know where to find Blog Talk Radio.